that saved me, and he gave me life eternal. And now I have everything. I was making big plans for my future. I was leaving my lifetime in vain. Then I prayed for life's only meaning. And now I have everything that I need to make me happy. I have Jesus to show me the way. He has saved me, and he gave me life eternal. And now I have everything.
The one. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we're looking at verse 16. Mark chapter 1, looking at verse 16. I ask you to pray for us tonight. God will help us. I want to bring some thoughts to your heart tonight that part of it, or at least most of you already know. Some of it you may have heard me say before. But it's good to remind yourself of it from time to time, because the devil's going to fight you on this thing I'm going to talk about tonight. And it's a desire, even though we're saved, and as the brothers already said, we're saved and heaven bound, sealed. Our salvation's took care of. There's a lot of people it's not. And there's where our thoughts and hearts should be tonight. Is those that are without, those that are not, lost without God, on their way to a Christless eternity in the lake of fire. We're going to try to bring you a message tonight on the subject of fishers of men. Fishers of men. Mark 1:16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for our health and our strength. Thank You for all the many, many blessings of life that You've given us. Our Father, tonight, Lord, we realize and know, God, the devil would love to stop this work here. We know he would like to hinder and pervert and twist. God, he'd like to get us off course. God, he'd like to get our minds off the important matters, the thing that count. But God, I pray tonight that You'd help us as individuals, as a church, set our minds and heart on things above, not on things of this earth. God, help us to be heavenly minded. Lord, God tonight, help us, Lord, to get our mind off temporal things that'll pass away. God, help us to get our mind on eternal things that'll never pass away. Oh God, You said things that are seen are temporal, but things that are not seen are eternal. God, we know our soul is not seen tonight. God, therefore, we know it's eternal. Lord God, help us tonight to live in the light of eternity. Help us, God, live so as the time when we look back on this mortal life that we'll have no regrets, that we'll say, I'm glad I lived and spent my time for Jesus. Lord God, do a work in our church tonight. Start it right here in my heart. God, revive my spirit. Help, Lord, to have a burden for souls. Oh God, help us not to play church. Help us, God, to be the Christians You'd have us to be in these days of sin and wickedness and religion and apostasy. Help us, dear Lord, to let our light shine around the world, Jesus. Do a work in this service tonight. Burn this message into the hearts of every man, woman, boy, girl in here tonight. And we'll praise You and thank You for it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you for a little while tonight on the subject, fishers of men. At the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what He'd done? He began to call men out. And as the Lord walked down by the Sea of Galilee and the River Jordan, He found some old boys out there fishing on the riverbank one day. And He said, if you'll follow Me, I'll make you become fishers of men. I don't believe the Lord's ever changed that plan or that method. If a man follows Jesus, that man will even today be a fisher of men. As a matter of fact, you can scripturally show it tonight that if a man is not trying to fish for men and not trying to help others to be saved, it's a good sign he's not following Jesus. I don't care how spiritual he may seem. I don't care how many prayers he can quote. I don't care how many churches he belonged to. Jesus said, if you will come after Me, I'll make you be fishers of men. The Lord is calling tonight in this service. As God looks over Marion, North Carolina, God looks down and He sees millions and millions of people across this land. And God sees our 40,000 here in McDowell County. Most of them lost without God. Most of them going to hell. And God wants a church or some individuals that He can speak to and won't be hard-hearted and stubborn, but say, yes, God, speak to my heart, I'll go, and I'll be a fisher of men. Now, you might as well hold your seatbelts tonight, because some of you ain't going to like too good some of the things I'll say. But there's only one reason why you won't, and that's because you're doing it. That's the only reason. You couldn't not like it because it ain't the truth. You couldn't not like it because it's just my opinion. The only way you couldn't like it is if you know that you're guilty. Tonight, the Lord would like for us to be fishers of men. Somebody said one time here a while back, they said in this day and time, we're no longer fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium. And all we do is just keep the aquarium and watch the fish. And most churches and sneaking over and stealing fish out of the other man's aquarium. Did you know these church members in McDowell County been swapped around half the churches in town? I've heard preachers, you know, honest, sit out at the dinner table and say, boy, I got some good tithers. And another say, I got some good workers. He'll say, I'll trade you some of my tithers for your workers. And about all the churches are doing is swapping members. And if we get members out of one church and put them in this church, if the church as in was the right church, we haven't accomplished one thing at all. All we've done is took a fish out of one aquarium and put it into another. But the Lord wants us tonight to really become fishermen. I'm fishermen of men. Somebody said recently that it's estimated that 95% of all church members never lead one person to the Lord Jesus. What if I was to stand everybody up here tonight? I was to let you start here with Paul. And then Paige, and then Roy, and then Rick, then Jack. Let you stand up one at a time and say, I've led a soul to Jesus. Or no, I've never led a soul to Jesus. I've heard every excuse in the world to keep from being a winner. But none of them check out with the Bible. I've heard them say, I'm a woman and I'm not supposed to win souls. I've heard them say, listen, God give you women the gift of gab. You ought to win more than us. Amen. I've heard them say, well, I'm not a preacher and I'm not a deacon. I don't have to win souls. Show me that in the Word of God. You say, show me where everybody's supposed to. Easy. Nothing to it. Matthew 28, Jesus said His disciples, He said, you go into all the world and teach every person.
and you teach the ones you win what I have taught you. He said, you go get them saved and you tell them to get somebody else saved. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. I want to say tonight, we need to be fishers of men. Now, I imagine most of these boys in here tonight, especially some of these that go fishing a lot, could do a much better job of illustrations than what I could tonight. Because as far as fishing's concerned, I ain't much. I don't go fishing. It's not because I believe it's wrong to go fishing. I don't go fishing because I just don't like to go fishing. I don't care a thing about it. We have a fish pond right in front of our house. And the last time I went down there and went fishing on my own just to be fishing was probably when I was 11 or 12 years old. I just don't care anything about it. I like to eat them. I like to go to the fish camp. I just don't like to fish. And therefore, I don't know a whole lot about fishing. Now, a lot of you men do. And you could come up with some good things on it if you'd think and pray about it a while. But I've just asked around, listened to people talk, you know, and I've heard some of their fish tales. And I've learned a little bit about fishing. If you want to be a fisher of men, there's two or three things that you're going to have to know. Number one, you'll have to know the right time. They tell me that there's a right time to fish. Evidently, there must be a wrong time or a not so good time. I reckon you could go out there any time of year and catch at least some fish. But fishermen say that there are certain times that are better to fish than other times. I heard about this guy one time. He'd go down to the riverbank. He was real familiar with the river and the fish that were in it. He'd go down to the riverbank and just sit there and read a book, take a nap, lay back and enjoy the sunshine, do whatever he wanted to do until it's time. And when it got, say, 3 o'clock, he'd get his fishing pole up, put his bait on and start just catching them in. Somebody said, how come you wait till that time? He said, they don't bite till that time. I don't know how he knew that. I don't know how he figured that out. I don't know. Maybe he had some kind of instinct, or maybe he had some kind of ingenuity, or read books, or just trial and error. But somehow or another, he knew that the best time to go was at this certain time. Now, good soul winners and good fishers of men also know that there's a right time to get somebody saved. I don't want to tell you nothing wrong. Because you've heard me say before that all the time's a good time to witness. And I don't want to track that. I still believe that. I believe that's right. But did you know that some times are better than other times to talk to somebody about their soul? If you want to be an effective soul winner and a fisher of men, you're going to have to know your timing's got to be right. For example, you don't say a man's out here on the sidewalk, out here on the street. And I came out here one day and I'm walking down the street going to my car. And he's out there and they're busting up the sidewalk. And he's got a jackhammer. And the whole sidewalk's shaking. His arms are shaking. His face is shaking. Now, it don't make too much sense for me to say, why, there's an old sinner. And drag up my test and walk over there. While that jackhammer goes, and I say, sir, can I show you a verse of Scripture? And him just said, his head about to jerk off. There's another getting right over here in Romans. Well, anybody here knows that's not the right time. You see? Well, it's like when a man's house is burning down and he's trying to get all his furniture out. And you come up, sir, I come to talk to you about your soul. He says, shut up, man. My house is burning down. I got to get my kids and furniture out of here. You know what you ought to do in a case like that? Help him get his furniture out. When he gets settled down in a motel or wherever he's going to stay, then talk to him about his soul. Many times we as God's people don't have that much sense. We jump somebody, and I've done it myself. I told the Lord, Lord, I'll witness, I'll witness, I promise, I'll witness, and go out and make a fool out of myself, just trying to prove the Lord I meant what I said. And sometimes do more damage than what I did. Now, I've talked in restaurants, I believe in that. I give out tracts in hospitals. I give out tracts in restaurants. I give out tracts in elevators. I've told people about the Lord in some strange places, but there's certain cases where suppose you're going down the road and pulling out a parking lot, and bam, you run right into somebody's brand new car. And they look at you like, what have you done? And you walk up and say, could I speak to you about the Lord Jesus? I hate to tell you this, but they don't want to hear about the Lord Jesus right then. Matter of fact, you'd be better off not to mention the Lord Jesus right then. Oh, preacher, what are you saying? Well, they'd connect Him with you. And they'd think, that's Christian, that makes more sense than running into a car in broad daylight. Don't talk to me, you're about half nuts. You're blind too. But I want you to know there's a right time to catch those fish. You know, like you come in there, spill coffee all over them, then give them a track. He don't... There's a good time when a person's sitting. Maybe they're at the laundromat. Maybe they're at the fire station. Maybe they're at the sheriff's department. Maybe they're just standing on the side of the road hitchhiking. Boy, that's the best opportunity in the world to witness some, pick up somebody hitchhiking. You know why? If you stop and give them a ride, they feel obligated to listen to what you've got to say. Boy, you talk about having an inside road. You don't ever hear a hitchhiker that says, shut up, I don't want to hear about it, because he knows you can stop and put him out. Anytime you take a notion, you've been over a barrel there, and it's times like that when you have a perfect opportunity to witness. So it would do all of us well to pray that God would give us the wisdom to know the right time to speak to a person about their soul. Many times it's not a good idea, and I'm not trying to pour water on your quench or nothing. I mean, God help, we need more people on fire. But I think a lot of times when a guy's standing around in a big crowd of people, that it's bad to single him out and embarrass him in front of all his friends. Now what I'd do is I'd just let the whole crowd have it, but not pick out one individual right in front of all his friends. Because instead of listening to you, he's going to feel embarrassment so strong that he'll tune out what you say. And so when I was to a big crowd, I just tell the whole crowd, I say, the Lord loves you, and give them all a track or something like that. We need to know the right time. You know what the Lord done to that woman at the well? He could have went down into Samaria and right in front of all her friends went up and started talking to her. She'd have hung her head in shame. But the Lord waited until she come out there at that well. And He said, now I got her right here where I want her. And He opened up the conversation and said, give me a drink. And brother, she opened up herself and He found the inroad and caught her like a man catches a fish. Number two, you've got to know the right place. Do you know that? Anybody knows that. The only way any of you men ever caught any fish is go where they fish. You must go where they are. You must go where the fish are. I imagine we've got some pretty professional fishermen in here. To hear you tell it anyway. And I imagine we got some in here that can really, really pull them in. But you know where you go when you pull them in, don't you? You go where there's plenty of them. And where they're biting. And where they're hungry. And you go to the healthy fish. I never did. When I went fishing when I was little, my uncle had an old pond that's full of carp. And it's full of catfish. Carp and catfish. And every time we'd go fishing, we'd always see some old fish laying around the side. Just old stagnated water. And they were laying bent somehow or another. Their bellies was at the top. And it was real shiny and silver. And their head was underwater and their tail was underwater. They was bowed like that. And they'd just move around like that a little bit. And their gills would just barely breathe. And you know what I done when I got ready to fish? My soul. I didn't take my bait over and put it right down in front of that's mouth. Try to get him to bite it. I didn't even want to catch that thing. He might have been having some kind of disease or something. I said, I can't catch a fish like that. You know what that represents? Hospital conversions. I know preachers, they will go to the hospital and win them to the Lord all the time. As soon as they get out of the hospital, they're right back in sin. Now, I'm not knocking that. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I led a lady to the hospital of the Lord. I led a lady in the to the Lord in the hospital. Folks, I'm having a terrible time today. I said, the devil's been on me. I ain't kidding you. He's been on me all day, yesterday and today, and I'm having a time with it. But he ain't going to win, you know, because I got the Lord on my side. And brother, I led a lady to the Lord, and I'm not knocking it. But you know where most of my hospital converts have wound up when they got out of the hospital? And most of my jail converts. Why anybody will make a profession anyway when they're about to die? Anybody will reach out and grab something. I'm not saying they're not all real. Some of them really mean it. But brother, if you really want to catch some fish, get some of them that's alive. Get them live fish. Dead fish can't bite. You can't catch no dead fish. They ain't very dependable. Really. I read about this guy. And he was a real soul winner. He went after souls all the time. And he had him a gold hook made and put on his lapel here. And he knew when people asked him what that hook meant, that he would tell them, you know, that he's a soul winner for the Lord. And so he's out on the street one day in Chicago, and he began to talk to this little boy, shining shoes. And this little boy said, "Sir, you must be belong to a fisher's club." Little boy lived in Chicago. He hadn't ever been fishing. He just heard about it. And you know how a little boy, one of them, wants to go fishing. And he said, you really go fishing? And the man said, "Oh, yes, I do." And the little boy said, "Do you ever catch any?" And the man said, "Sure, I've caught a many of them." And he said, "You catch some big ones?" He said, "Yeah, I've caught some that weighed 250 pounds. And the little boy said, "250 pounds? You caught them that big?" He said, "Yes, son, sure have." You know, he's talking about drunks in the mission and, you know, people he'd won to the Lord. And the little boy said, "You really catch them?" And the man said, "Yes, but I'd rather catch smaller fish." And the little guy said, "You had?" He said, "Yeah, I'd rather catch them about your size." And the little boy said, "Really?" And the man began to talk to him and told him how that Jesus loved him. And he told him that his Savior came down, died on the cross, that little boy. And just in a few minutes, the little boy got saved. You can't never get nobody saved till you go where they're at, folks. You want to be a fisher of men? God help us! I read a verse in Psalm that got me under conviction. It said, "When the wicked die, they shouting." That's in the context. I know what that means. When a wicked king's out of the way, the people rejoice. But when that verse jumped out at me, you know what God said to my heart? He said, "Danny, wicked people are dying. They're going to hell everywhere. And God's people's in the house of God shouting." We'd do well to cut out some of our shouting and go do some knocking on some doors. And I'm not against shouting, brother. I like to shout the roof off the house. I'd like to see it all the time. But there's more to being a Christian than shouting, brother. I want you to know we need somebody to get outside and do something for God outside these four walls. We got enough people sitting in church every Sunday. What we need, somebody to push away from the table. Look out through the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty, there's a field of golden grain. It's rhymes, but the labors are few. Pray that God will send forth labors and get out there and get the job done for the Lord. I'll tell you something, you ain't never going to catch a fish taking lessons and classes on fishing. No, sir. I know those people. They said, "Oh boy, I'm going to retire this summer. I'm going down here to Western Auto, and I'm going to buy me the best fishing pole they got." Now they buy them some books on fishing. And they buy them a tackle box. And they buy them all kinds of lures. And they buy them all kinds of test line. And they buy them a Zebco reel. And boy, they buy everything, and they spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and they read when's the best time to fish, when's the best time to bite, how to hold it, how far to cast it, how deep to fish, what kind of bait to use, whole mess. And they study that stuff for 6 months, and when summertime comes, they set it home, and too lazy to go, they never, 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 never catch a fish. And you know, I know a lot of God's people, it's the same way. I can say, "Unless we're going to study soul winning up here on Wednesday night, they'll come, they'll take notes, they'll look up the scriptures. Oh, they know how to lead a soul to Jesus backwards." But you know what's wrong with them? They never get out and do it. Amen? They never get out and do it. And you can't catch fish just taking classes on fishing. I know some men that's got all kinds of big fishing equipment. Told you he's after us today. And brother, they got the outbuilding full of fishing poles. But they never catch no fish. Why? You know why? They don't never go fishing. And I know some little old boys that take them an old oak limb and cut a little notch in the end of it and tie them some line on the end of it and bend a straight pin and tie it on the end of it and catch fish. There's men that's got hundreds of dollars worth of fishing equipment out in the backyard and in the barn and the outbuilding. But you do need to do fishing with it, boys. We know enough Bible. I'd say 90% of the people in here knows enough of Bible to tell somebody how to get saved. But you got to get out and do it. That's right. Now I know some of you don't like to hear me preach on this because you've done got your mind made up you're not going to. Your mind's already made up. And the devil put it in your head. You're not going to be a soul winner, and you've agreed with him. God may shake you and jar you. I've known women to be soul winners till their husband got saved, and then they quit being a soul winner. No men to be soul winners till their wife got saved, and lo and behold, if they didn't give up, there's somebody else's wife out there lost. Somebody else's husband out there lost. That means just as much to God as your husband did. Amen. You'll never catch. You say, well, I went a few times and I tried to win somebody to the Lord and it got discouraging and so I just figured the Lord was telling me not to do it. Don't you know everything you've ever done for God sometimes gets discouraging? I think about Brother Dale there and Brother Steve. They went out this week to try to build up a bus route last couple of weeks. They had a bunch of kids promised to come one Sunday and it snowed. None of them came. They went out yesterday, worked, had 20-something kids promised to come this morning. He caught up early, come got the van, went out. How many of them come, brother? None. None! Out of 25, not one come! Well, I'd quit. That's how come you don't never catch nothing. You're going to go down to the river one day and throw that thing in there for 8 hours. And not catch a thing. But if you'll get up the next morning and say, I'm going back. Sooner or later, them fish are going to get hungry. And when they get hungry, you're just going to happen to be there with the bait and catch them. I've seen churches in McDowell County start bus routes and paint buses and put stripes on them and put their name on them and light fire for 2 or 3 Saturdays and then just drop it flat. You can't. I could probably go fishing tonight and not catch a thing. Go next week and not catch a thing. You never will catch nothing till you keep on going. You say it's impossible in this town. No, it ain't. You've heard me say this before, but did you know it's impossible for a bumblebee to fly? Scientists have proved that it's an impossibility for a bumblebee to fly. His wings ain't big enough to hold up his body. It's impossible. You say, no, it ain't. Yes, it is. Scientifically, impossible. You say, well, how come he can still fly? Because the bumblebee, he don't know that. Nobody's ever told him it's impossible, so he just goes ahead and does it. I'll tell you what's with churches, people. Ain't been too many of these old backslid hypocrite church members telling every young person that gets on fire, it can't be done, it can't be done, it can't be done, it can't be done. Well, who says thank you? When I go for a while and I don't win a soul to God, talking personally to that person, I feel backslid and dirty and low down in my heart. I know there's something wrong. Old Danny needs a trip to the altar to get right with God. Brother, there's so many people busy in the work of the Lord, teaching Sunday school, preaching, doing everything else, but they ain't winning souls. They ain't worth a dime in the service of God. You're welcome. A deacon that ain't a soul winner ain't worth a powder and shot and take to blow his head off. A Sunday school teacher that ain't a soul winner is not right with God.
Amen.
So how you know? How you going to teach your kids to do it if you don't do it? How are you going to say we ought to get out there and tell them if you don't get out and tell them? Amen. I want you to know that you can buy all the gear and equipment. And I'll tell you something else. You can't catch fish strolling by the river looking at them or criticizing the fish. Man, walk down to the river. Walk down through there. Boy, it's the puniest, sorriest looking little old fish I ever seen. Look at them things. Puny. Weak, sickly. I wouldn't want a fish like that. That's easy to do that. Many of God's people spend their time talking about how bad the world is. Oh, it's terrible, Brother Danny. Well, what are you doing about it? Just talking? It's easy for us to ride down the road and say them old boys that hang around at the pool hall, oh, low down, how sorry they are, how filthy they are. Oh, shut up. If you ain't doing something to try to help, just shut your mouth. Brother, I'm here to tell you, anybody can criticize the fish. Anybody can stroll by the riverbank and watch the fish. But it takes somebody that's got a desire to catch them, that'll put the bait in and try to help them and bring them out of the river. Did you know it takes absolutely no talent at all to criticize? You don't have to have not one talent to criticize. It's markets, highways, and hedges. Heard about this old lady named Soul Winning Sophie. Aunt Sophie was her name. They called her Soul Winning Sophie. She won so many souls. Is that all? A bunch of the women had a place of amusement one time, you know, and WMU, something like that, you know. And she come out. She couldn't find nobody to witness to, and there's a wooden Indian standing there, I guess, you know. And she just started witnessing to him, telling about the Lord. Give him a track, you know. And they come out, and they just laughed and laughed and laughed at her. Oh, do you see old silly Sophie trying to witness that wooden Christian? She said, I'd rather be a real Christian and witness to a wooden Indian than I had to be a wooden Christian that wouldn't witness to a real person. I'd rather them think I was a little bit wacko. Brother Danny, you heard his testimony. Haven't the boy in the mental hospital there took a little testament and took how to be saved. They thought he was crazy. I bet the Lord didn't think that boy was crazy. They may call you silly. They may laugh at you like they did Soul Winning Sophie. They may criticize you. D.L. Moody, the great preacher, preached a sermon one night and tried his best to get people saved. This little edgy smart aleck come up to him after the service. He said, Mr. Moody, I counted 18 grammatical errors in your message tonight of the English. Mr. Moody looked back at him and said, you see that thing right there, son? And the boy said, yeah. And he said, that's my tongue. I'm using that for the glory of God. What are you using yours for? I know what most people's using theirs for. It ain't to tell somebody about Jesus. It's to tell thing they know rotten about their brother and sister. Anybody can do that. Do you know that I read about some salesmen, insurance salesmen? And they say that the insurance salesmen, 48% of them, one call and quit. 25% of them make two calls and quit. 15% of them make three calls and quit. Wind up 12% of all the men that ever go to work for them wind up doing 80% of the business. You know why? They keep going. They said that some of those insurance men must make 45 calls to get two people to put their name on the dotted line. They said if you talk to 45 men, you can get two of them to buy a little pussy. I want to say tonight, friends, I want to say tonight, listen to me. I want to say if an insurance man making a living for his family can call on 45 men knowing he's going to get turned down 43 times, how much more should you and I in God's work, in God's business, not get discouraged and keep on going for a soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell? I read about this church. And this church was having problems and the pastor was getting ready to resign. Church hadn't grew any for years. Hadn't had a soul saved in years. Preacher called the deacons together and he said, boys, I'm quitting. He said, before I quit, I'm going to try one more thing. He said, I'm going to do everything I can to win a soul this week. And I want all of you to say the same thing. And all these deacons, I think you had 7 or 8 of them, they said, yes, preacher, we'll do it. Those deacons had never tried to win a soul, not one time. That's why I thank God for our deacons here. They'll witness. The Bible said the deacons over in the book of Acts were men full of the Holy Ghost. And you know what a person full of the Holy Ghost does, don't you? I hope you know. Surely as long as you've been coming to church, you know what a person full of the Holy Ghost does. It ain't what some people think they do. It's tell about Jesus. And brother, these deacons got together and they said, next Sunday, if we don't win a soul, will ever one quit? Preacher, deacons and all will resign. Get out of the way. Let somebody in here to do it. One of the deacons run a store. He went into his store the next morning. He said, the first man that come in, he had a heavy burden on his heart. First man that come in his store, he began to talk to him about the Lord. They had a heart-to-heart talk. A few minutes later, that man walked out a saved man. Before that day was over, he had led 11 people to the Lord. God moved in on that thing. Those other deacons done the same thing, and the next Sunday there was 30 men in church weren't there the last Sunday. That's the truth! Why, preacher? Hey, we're not a bunch of Calvinists. We ain't gonna sit here and say, Lord, send them in, and expect God to take a mighty sweep out there and knock people in here. He sent them to the highways and edges and compel them to come in. We've got to go get them. The next thing you've got to know if you're going to be a fisher of men, number one, you've got to have the time. Number two, you've got to have the place. Number three, you've got to have the right bait. You've got to have the right time. You've got to have the right place. And if you're going to catch anything, you've got to have the right bait. I've heard people say, catch anything? No, I've been down there all day, man. Some burnt head burn up. My ears got sunburnt. My arms got sunburnt. Choking to death. Hot, sweaty. Didn't catch a thing. Somebody said, what kind of bait you use? And they'd say, well, that's another kind. Say, oh man, you're using the wrong kind. Go down there and try the other kind. Try the right kind and start catching them. You've got to have the right kind of bait. Now, you know what the bait is, don't you? It ain't hot dog suppers. Everybody in here knows what the bait is, and it ain't singings. I know how we'll get them in, preacher. We'll have a singing. Yeah, and when the singing bus is gone, they'll be gone. Oh, you can have a famous singing group in. Pack this place jam-packed full. I could have the Inspirations down here. I could have somebody like that, and I'm not knocking these groups. But I could have somebody in this. You couldn't get them in this building, folks. But the next Sunday, it'd be right back to where we are now. That ain't the bait! That ain't going to help a sinner! In recent years, you know, they've come out with a lot. But the bait is the Word of God. If you're having trouble witnessing to somebody, just give them the Word. Give them the Word. I'm trying to witness to a cousin of mine yesterday. I don't know, maybe never see him again. I felt like the Lord wanted me to witness to him tonight. And I started talking to him about the Lord, and he just turned me off, just turned his head. And then I said, the verse I preached on this morning, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Boy, and that pierced. You know, the Word of God is what really gets hold of somebody. We can tell them stories and all that, and that's all right, but the Word of God bait. See, the hook's in there, the Word of God's in there, and you tell somebody the Word of God. Just pump them full of Scripture. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Brother, that'll break a stony heart. Quote them. Tell them the Word of God. Now, in recent years, they've come out with new kinds of bait. That's all these modern versions. See, you know what this is right here? This is a live red worm, brother. And that's the old bait people's used for years, and you can't improve on an old live red worm. You know what the new international version is? The new ASV and the RSV? Them old rubber worms. Them old purple ones. You say, oh, it weren't good. Yeah, but a smart fish It looks just like a worm. Soft just like a worm. But sometimes the fish don't come up and just swallow the whole thing. Sometimes he sucks on the end of it a little bit. Boy, and when he sucks, taste that plastic, son, he's going to turn around and go the other way. I can see an old fish come up and get that little rubber worm in his mouth and go, turn around and go the other way. That's them old perverted version. That's the reverse vision. You can catch a few fish on them, but that ain't the best kind of bait. Nah. You know what, brother? You know what they like about them old red worms? They're alive. You know what the Bible says? The Word of God is quick. It's alive. Powerful. And old red worms will move. Have they ever invented any artificial bait that moves by itself? They probably have by now. I don't know. Have it, Tony? Wiley? Artificial bait that moves by itself. A worm that gets down there and wiggles around, they'll probably come up with something like that. But it'll never take the place of the old-fashioned red worm. Boy, you get them things in there and they're squirming around on there, trying to get off that hook. And brother, I don't see how they stand it. They ain't got nothing but mud in them. And to me and you, that don't sound appetizing at all. But to a fish, brother, they love them things. And their hooks through their body and through this way and through that way, and they're wrapped around there, and they're still wiggling around on their end. The fish sees that, boy. His eyes lights up. He gets his appetite up. He goes to that thing. You know why? It's alive. It's warm. They don't want any more cold rubber worms. Man, them things ain't no good. Then they got other new matters of bait. They got these little flies, what they call flies, and they got little white feathers on them, and you throw them out there and you do it like this, jerk it through the water, makes it look like it's alive, makes it look like it's a bug underneath there. I'll let that represent testimonies. Sometimes we think, boy, if I can just give my testimony, thousands will get saved. Oh, and get them on the Billy Graham crusade and we'll have testimony. But a testimony, that's all right, I'm not knocking it, but that ain't really what gets them saved. And then you have these flashy spinners, which look like a spoon, a little long spoon. You put them things in there and jerk them through the water. And it looks real flashy, shiny, but really it's just metal, fake. That's just new, flashy, rich, modern evangelism. A lot of that going on this day and time. This smooth, slick, flashy evangelism. Oh, where the music is just right. And you get a bunch of girls there, now their brother, it looked like they walked out of Hollywood somewhere. And they're having, whoa, around that way. Whoa, back that way, brother, it looked like it got a ton of hairspray on it. Their lips has got a ton of makeup, or lipstick, face with makeup. They look like a big old smudge of mud right on across their face. They don't even smooth it out no more like they used to. Just take a big old red smudge, just like an Indian. They get on there, boy, and they can sing perfect. And oh, how wonderful it sounds. And oh, how perfect. Their dress is perfect. Their eyes are perfect. They ain't got a spot on them. The evangelist comes out, man, he's got it down to a T. He don't make one grammatical error. He don't get his tongue tangled up like I do. He don't mess up, but there ain't many fish being caught. Something wrong with the bait. The Word of God is still the best bait. That's right. The Word of God. I'll say a few illustrations of soul winning. I'm going to hush tonight. I never will forget reading that story. I've told it before, but I love films and stories like that. I don't get tired of hearing them. Hope you don't. John Harper was on the Titanic when the Titanic went down years and years and years ago. And old John Harper was a Christian. Loved the Lord. And all of a sudden that ship was going down. The water was below 30 degrees. People was grabbing on lifeboats and them round things, preservers and pieces of wood and blocks and everything else trying to float. John Harper, instead of preserving himself, you know what his mind was on? Souls. And he knew they was going to die. John Harper was out there in the waves. The story went. This story was told 4 years later after the Titanic sunk. A Scotsman rose up in a testimony meeting and gave this testimony. He said, I was going down. Somehow or another, the waves were boisterous and they floated, and me and John Harper came in contact. And you know what John Harper said? He said, "Man, is thy soul saved?" And the man says, "Sir, I fear it is not." And the waves carried them apart. A few minutes later, he said, the waves, somehow the wind, brought them back together. And John Harper said, "Man, is thy soul saved yet?" And the man said, "No, I fear it is not." And John Harper said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." He said, right there the waves took John Harper away. He said, there, in 30-degree water, with 2 miles of ocean water under my feet, I believed on Jesus. And he said, "I'm John Harper's last convert." That's what the Word of God will do, folks. That's what the Word of God will do. I'll never forget Brother Ed McAbee telling the story. He may have told it here, I'm not sure. He told about the old Chinaman. How that the missionary was over in China and he's had a big place there to preach him. And he said that this lady had got saved and her husband worshipped idols. He wouldn't come to none of the services. But she kept praying for him and praying for him, and while the evangelist was there, she made her husband promise he'd come one night and he'd say, "Worship my idols. I'll not believe in your God, but I'll go one time just out of respect to you. But I'll tell you right now, I'll not listen to a word that man says." So that night they went in there, and it was an old open-air tent-like thing. The people were packed out there, and the old Chinaman sat down about halfway back. And when the preacher got up to preach, he took out them big old fat fingers and plugged up both his ears. And he sat there while the preacher was preaching. He'd say, "I ain't going to hear not one word you say." And the preacher got to preaching, and old Chinaman just sitting there looking at him, not listening to a thing he said. And he said, about that time, divinely sent, there's a big old horse fly come zooming in that place like a 747. Went over that congregation a few times, and he come to a 3-point landing right on the end of that old boy's nose. He's sitting there, them fingers in his ears, and that fly on his nose. And it started, you know, how they got them little things on, started doing like that on his nose. He started going, and he couldn't get it off. And he knew he was going to have to do something. It was aggravating him to death. So he jerked out one of his, and he come across that way to swat that fly. And right when he took his hand out of his ear, the preacher said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life." And the Word of God went out and went in that ear and down into that old Chinaman's heart. And he left his finger out and said, "What'd he say?" And he listened. And to make a long story short, the old boy come down the hole of that night and got saved. That's what the Word of God will do. That's a bait, brother. I'm glad we've got the bait, and it'll do the job. You say, in this modern generation? Yes, sir, brother. Same old fish. And there's a lot of them hungry out there. You say, well, I went out there and they slammed the door in my face and told me they didn't want to hear what I had to say. That's all right. All the fish ain't hungry just yet. Right down the road there'll be one that is. How many fish do you think passes right by the bait and never gives it a second look? But sooner or later they'll come along one that's hungry. He'll grab it. I believe tonight there's somebody out there that's hungry. You know what? I'd say without fear of contradiction tonight that there's somebody right now in McDowell County, right now, that is thinking about being saved and would be saved. But they're too ashamed to mention anybody, and all it would take was somebody to go. That's all it'd take. You know, how come I preach on visitation? Because if we have 40 come, we can visit twice as many homes as we can with 20. And the more you get in, the more likely you are to find that hungry fish. And the more you're going to get saved. Some of our ladies went out here the other night and won 2 or 3 souls to the Lord. Now, if I was some of you men, I'd hit the altar, letting the women get out and do the work that I ought to be doing too. You know, I come make so many women preachers and officers in church, the men won't do it. That's right. I know a preacher, and he said, women teach all our Sunday school classes. I said, what? He said, well, I know you don't agree with that, Brother Danny, but the men won't. That's why this ERA thing's so big, brother. Women who have to get up and do what the lazy men won't do. Help us when the women are outdoing us, boys. And they are. They're outnumbering us, witnessing souls. God help us! R.A. Torrey went to a restaurant one day. Give you these couple illustrations, and I'm through tonight. And when the waiter, there's a man waiter, come and waited on the table. And he said when that man waited on him, he said the Holy Ghost said, witness to him. He felt a strong urge to witness that man. He said, no, I'm not here in the restaurant, you know. I don't want to, like I was talking about a while ago, he thought it wasn't the right time. And I want you to know, folks, if don't get me wrong what I said a while ago. If the Holy Ghost says, tell them, while they're using the jackhammer, you do it. But anyway, he said, in coming, he said, witness to him. And he said, no, he's working. And so he went outside. He said, I felt such a strong urge to witness that man, I thought I'd stay outside and wait on him. In a little while, the owner of the restaurant came out. And he said, are you waiting on somebody, sir? And he said, yeah, I'm waiting on that waiter right in there. I'm going to talk to him. And he said, you'll not talk to that man. The ambulance is on the way. Right after you left, he went in the back room and shot himself. And R.A. Torrey said, from then on, buddy, I feel like God wants me to witness somebody. I'm a-going. Folks, say some of you got kinfolks, brothers and sisters, moms and dads. That's going to hell if they don't get saved. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They're going to hell. Are you going to sit around until one of these days your phone rings and somebody tells you they're dead? Oh, when you see them laying in a coffin and their eyes are closed and you can see them in your mind screaming in the fire, you'll say, I would to God, I got to let me go talk to them. But it'll be too late. Better get them while you got a chance. I read about this young man that was going to Africa to be a missionary. When he found out the mission board had accepted him, he said, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm going to get to go to Africa, my heart's desire. But there's only one problem. He said the girl that he was going to marry and loved so much wouldn't go with him. And she said, no way will I go. Before he left, he wrote her one more letter and said, will you go? Please, will you go? And something happened to that girl's heart. God done a work in her heart. She changed her mind and said, wrote him back and said, yes, honey, I'll go. I love you so strong, I'll go with you wherever you want me to go. I'll go to Africa with you. But it was raining. She put the letter in the post office. She gave it to her little brother and said, would you take this and mail it for me? He said, I sure would. She never did hear from her fiancé, never did hear from him. Couldn't find out. He went on to Africa and left her. And she said, wonder why? About 2 years later, she was over at the house going through some old clothes, found one of her brother's old coat, found that letter in his pocket. He never did deliver the letter, and the boy left without it. You know what? Y'all sitting there tonight with the letter in your lap. Are you going to deliver it? Oh, we'll sit and hold it and cherish it and tell God we love Him. Some of us are going to sit and hold the letter till the souls are in hell. You say, Brother Danny, do you really believe that they're going to go in there and burn forever and ever and ever? I tell you what, if they ain't, let's just close the doors. Let's don't be hypocrites. We'll just close the doors. I'll go get me a job. I'll go to Baxter. I'll go somewhere. And we'll just shut this thing down. Quit giving money into it. If they don't go to hell, if they don't burn, let's just quit playing church, all right? Brother, if this Bible's true, and I believe it is, they really do go there. God help us, we claim to be Christians and don't care. Let's decide tonight. I like that little song the kids sing. I like the way they sing it. That's what we ought to sing it sometimes. It says, oh, how sweet to walk round and round the block, ringing more bells for my Lord, wearing out my shoes, telling God's good news, ringing doorbells for my Lord. Ringing doorbells, ringing doorbells, ringing doorbells for my Lord. Ringing doorbells. ringing doorbells, ringing doorbells for my Lord. One of these days when we get to heaven, we'll wish we had them. I remember the great men of God in days gone by listening to some of the things they said. You know what George Whitefield said? Oh Lord, give me souls or take my soul. George Whitefield didn't say, Lord, give me a better understanding of the Greek. He couldn't have cared less. He said, God, give me souls. We need a generation of preachers like that nowadays. We're about to be educated. God help us. We know John 3:16, we ought to be out doing something about it. Henry Martin, the great missionary, kneeling on India's shore, said, here, let me burn out for God. David Brainerd. Listen to what David Brainerd said. If you ever want to get under conviction, read about David Brainerd. You know what he said? I care not where I live or what hardships I go through so that I can but gain souls to Christ. I can't even read that without getting under conviction. While I'm asleep, I dream of these things. Soon as I wake, the first thing I think of is the great work. All my desire is the conversion of sinners, and all my hope is in God. D.L. Moody said, use me then, Lord, my Savior, for whatever purpose and whatever way Thou mayest require. Here's my poor heart and empty vessel. Fill it with Thy grace. Martin Luther said, do Thou, my God, do Thou, God, stand by me against the world's wisdom and reason. Oh, do it. Thou must do it. Stand by me, Thou true eternal God. John McKenzie said, O Lord, send me to the darkest spot on earth. Praying Hyde said, Father, give me these souls, for I die. A missionary to India, a lady, before she left her children at home and went to India, said, Lord Jesus, I do this for Thee. John Hunt, a missionary to the Fiji Islands, prayed on his dying deathbed, Lord, save Fiji. Lord, save Fiji. Save these people, O Lord. Have mercy on Fiji. Save Fiji. And died. Wouldn't it be nice if we had Christians like that? So little time, the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of the harvest, and hope He'll smile and say, well done. How many times I should have strongly pleaded. How often did I fail to strictly warn? The Spirit moved. Oh, had I pled for Jesus, the grain is fallen. Lost ones not reborn. Despite the heat, the ceaseless toil, the hardship, the broken heart over which those cannot win, misunderstood because we're often peculiar, regrets we'll have but for our sin. A day of pleasure or a feast of friendship, a house of carved garments, lair and fame, will all be trash when souls are brought to heaven. And then how sad to face the slacker's blame. The harvest white with reaper is wasting, and many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.